I am Steve Porter, and I'm here on behalf of Daniel Wackett, who's at council table there. And we're here because an employer violates the First Amendment when it retaliates against an employee because the employee has spoken out on a matter of public concern. Daniel Wackett spoke out on a matter of public concern when he criticized the defendant's City of Beaver Dam alderpersons and the city officials and other city officials for considering a salesman's offer of an overnight trip to tour the Caterpillar tractor factory in 2002, and he spoke out on a matter of public concern when he spoke to members of the public about his opposition to defendant's decision to recommend that the city purchase a Caterpillar end loader rather than the lower bid John Deere tractor.
Is there any evidence that the board members disliked Mr. Wackett because of his statements about the end loader?
In the meeting, you mean?
Yeah, or at any point?
Yeah, that I think that's really the crux of the case, Your Honor, is that it was his opposition to the end loader. There was an indication that when he spoke out in his role as staff to the Board of Public Works that they were displeased at the time that he opposed the end loader decision they had made, but the case is about his speaking to members of the public and encouraging in particular one member of the public to write a letter to the editor that mentioned Mr. Wackett specifically in opposition to the purchase, which either engendered or certainly became quite part of quite a huge public outcry, including numerous articles in the newspapers, talk shows in the local radio, and direct lobbying of alderpersons that actually forced the Board of Public Works and the Common Council to reverse the recommendation of the Board of Public Works. So,
well, that Schmidt letter, that was first of all addressed to the council, wasn't it?
It was addressed to the mayor and the council, correct.
Yeah, well, it sounds like that's getting Schmidt to write a letter. It's kind of a lobbying effort, isn't it?
I suppose it could be considered that way, or it could be considered a public citizen expressing his views in a public forum.
But he's working the system, and goes to someone, hey, write the ledges, because he's making the same case to them, and they're not, he thinks, not listening to him. And so he gets a guy who, Schmidt, who apparently was in that business or knew something about it, and he writes a letter, and then that letter is sent to the newspaper, I guess.
Yeah, and to the mayor. It was, Your Honor, you're correct. It was sent directly to the mayor and the council as well, which I suppose, I'm not sure exactly what the technical definition of lobbying is.
Well, I'm just talking about matters of public concern and whether he's operating within his own job, and he's trying to get the influence the legislature and doing that thing. And I understand speaking out about something that is not just self-serving for his own benefit to get a pay raise or something. No, he's speaking out on something he hopes to change. And obviously they did change, I guess. They did decide to get the one he wanted.
Mr. Wackett saw himself as speaking out as a taxpayer and as an advocate on behalf of the best interests of the citizenry, who had very definite concerns about budgetary expenses at that time.
We have a retaliation case here, basically, don't we?
Exactly, yeah. Right. And yeah. I don't think that his speech was any different than in Perry versus Sinderman or in Pickering and or any of those cases in which people went to school board meetings or people published letters to the editor with regard to what the district judge would have said were probably relatively minor matters, but they were a big thing to the city of Beaver Dam, and they really caused quite an uproar in that city during the months of February, March, and early April of 2003.
Well, there's no showing that they knew about it.
So I'm sorry?
The board knew about it, or the decision makers even knew about what he was doing in order to retaliate against him.
That's what they claimed. That was their testimony, and it's our argument.
Right. See, you're drawing certain inferences, but that was really what my question got to. What direct evidence do you have?
There's no direct evidence, Your Honor. Nobody says that I heard either of any of these people say that they knew that Wackett was behind this. None of the defendants themselves admitted. The defendants admitted having, three of them admitted having seen the Schmidt letter and read it, and acknowledge that it refers to Wackett and his position in it. But they claimed they didn't know Wackett was behind it.
Is there any evidence that the board knew of Wackett's statements about the trip to Peoria?
Well, there's no direct evidence. But Wackett went to the mayor. He went to the human resources director, directly complained about this. And he went to the executive secretary of the mayor to find out exactly who had, whether anybody had signed up for the trip and how it was being organized. This is a small town, Your Honor, Beaver Dam. I don't know the exact population. I doubt if it's more than 10,000 people. And the government is small, and everybody knows everybody. And I think it would be reasonable, given not only that circumstance, for a jury to make that inference. It's one reasonable inference that a jury could make. But I think there's also the fact that when you combine the reaction, when we're talking about the reaction, particularly after the end loader incident, which in some ways incorporated the tour of the factories, because Wackett reiterated his concern about that when he was talking about the end loader and thinking that there had been some undue influence there. But the point is that I think the overwhelming inference that we're trying to try to suggest is that the attitude of the defendants changed so drastically against Wackett after the end loader public outcry.
Well, let me ask you this. Did Mr. Wackett speak out about any matters that weren't already in the public record?
I'm not sure. I know that Wackett would say in his testimony that he spoke very technically. I mean, Wackett was the guy who formulated the bidding criteria for the end loader. When he talked to Schmidt was technologically versed in end loaders because it was part of his business, and Wackett testified that they did talk about the specifications of the three end loaders that were being considered were on the same level as far as their being good machines and as far as them meeting the bid specifications that Wackett had adopted. I think Wackett discussed that kind of thing with Schmidt and with a few other people one-on-one in the public venue, but probably technically those specifications were part of the public record,
right,
as well.
And then can speech in the workplace that's covered by Garcetti become the basis of a First Amendment claim if it's repeated outside?
I believe so. I believe so. I mean, I think that's what you had with Pickering. You know, that person went to the school board and wrote a letter. In those cases, this person, Pickering was a teacher, and she had certain considerations about the after-school athletic programs and things like that. The fact that the First Amendment principles in employment emphasize is that you don't give up your citizen role just because you become a public employee. You still have the right to speak as a citizen on the very same matters that may pertain to your job, but it's not in the context of your job. It's the same thing, I think, with the ethics complaint about the tour. You know, Wackett took those complaints to people who were in the city government, but he didn't do it in his role as a supervisor of public works. He did it as in his role as a citizen who was concerned about the ethics of public officials.
Well, they could have done something with job action if they didn't like the way he was acting in public in front of them, being whatever it is they describe him as, being loudmouthed or this kind of thing, in his own, right in front of them in the council, wherever they're sitting.
You know, I just don't think, I think that's one inference, Your Honor, but we're talking about summary judgment. We're talking about other reasonable inferences. And I think that the public outcry was very embarrassing for these guys. Defendant Coleman was quoted in the newspaper as saying, this is extremely embarrassing and it's done a lot of damage to us and it has to be stopped. And so I think that, yes, they were annoyed when Wackett expressed his ideas in the board meeting, but the thing that really caused them to want to retaliate is we were saying the inference that they understood that he was part of this, or either instigated or was part of this big public outcry that turned out to be very embarrassing to them and forced them to reverse their vote on this end loader. And so it was actually the public component would, which would only logically provide enough of a motive for them to be so vicious towards towards Wackett after that by calling him a son of a bitch to the guy that succeeded him and get that son of a bitch and nail him, things like that. You don't say that just because, you know, somebody expresses an opinion in a board meeting that you don't happen to agree with. You say it when this guy has gone out and caused you public embarrassment.
And after that, he was on, he was remained acting director, whatever it is, for several years. Right?
4 years. They kept him for 4 years, yet they said he wasn't qualified to do the job. So, we, you know, I think that the district court was just wrong, Your Honor, about the matter of public concern, and the district court was just wrong about the matter of the. There's a reasonable inference that the jury could draw that they must have known, based on the five factors that I mentioned in my brief, in addition to just the embarrassment factor. There's an inference that a jury should be permitted to consider here.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you,
Ms. Bergeron. Say it again.
Bergeron.
Okay.
May it please the court, I'm Meg Bergeron, appearing for the appellees in this case, and I'd like to address a few issues in support of the appellee's request that this court affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment dismissing all First Amendment claims. The first issue is whether Mr. Wackett has waived the argument that the appellees retaliated against him for his 2002 trip speech. And the answer is this issue was waived. The district court granted summary judgment on all federal claims and dismissed all federal claims. That necessarily included the First Amendment claims based on the 2002 speech. If Mr. Wackett had an issue with the district court's decision dismissing his claim, he needed to raise it here and he needed to raise it in his initial brief. He did not do so, and it was too late for him to do so on reply. And for this reason, we ask that the court affirm the summary judgment claim based on the 2002 speech. The second issue, which is really only relevant if the court finds there's no waiver, is whether Mr. Wackett produced evidence that the individual defendants knew of the alleged 2002 speech. And here the answer is no, they didn't know. There was no evidence. In his reply, Mr. Wackett in his...
Was the board meeting where the Peoria plant tour trip was discussed, was that a public meeting?
Yes, it was. In his initial brief to this court, Mr. Wackett pointed to no evidence of knowledge of speech. And in his reply brief, he argued simply that the defendants must have known about the speech because he made the speech. That's not evidence. That's some sort of circular reasoning, but it's not evidence. And no reasonable jury could infer from Mr. Wackett making this speech that they knew about the speech. There's no evidence of knowledge of the speech, and without evidence of knowledge, you can't show that the speech motivated any sort of retaliatory action, and you can't prove his retaliation claim.
Well, it is kind of odd that he served for 4 years in both positions. He was paid his regular salary as a supervisor. He didn't get any additional compensation, and he served for 4 years as acting director. He had two jobs.
Yes, that's true. He did. In the context of retaliation. The thing is, there's testimony in the record from Mr. Wackett's own witnesses that Mr. Wackett was subject to unfavorable treatment even before the front-end loader speech issue came up, that had been, for a while, that had been going on, and that immediately after he gave his recommendation on the front-end loader issue at the public meeting, immediately some of the board members showed dislike of him and they were disgusted with his recommendation. So any sort of hostility or dislike, the evidence is, occurred before his public speech, the speech he claims he made to citizens as a taxpayer. It occurred beforehand. And there's nothing to show that any subsequent hostility was anything but a continuation of that initial unfavorable treatment and dislike that had already been occurring before this speech. Now, Mr. Wackett questioned in his reply brief whether the appellees waived the... we talked about whether Mr. Wackett produced evidence of that the individual defendants knew of the alleged 2002 speech. Mr. Wackett's claimed that we waived that argument, but that issue has not been waived. In the appellee's initial summary judgment brief, we identified the speech's issue as relating to the 2003 speech regarding the front-end loader vote, claiming that that was influenced by a trip to the Caterpillar plant. And that identification was based on Mr. Wackett's own deposition testimony. What he said was the speech that prompted the alleged retaliatory action. And based on his deposition, the appellees put in the record the declarations of the individual defendants that they didn't know what Mr. Wackett was saying about their vote on the front-end loader issue and argued that without evidence of knowledge, his First Amendment claim failed.
Where was the speech, or to whom was it made?
I'm sorry,
the
I can't...
The speech. Who is the audience? Who's he talking to? A speech?
Well, we know he spoke to...
Are we just talking about speech as being something he said, or was there a speech he made to some public group?
There was a recommendation he made at a board meeting in 2003, and then Mr. Wackett has alleged he also spoke to members of the public. And
you know Schmidt.
Mr. Schmidt, and I believe he mentioned one other person specifically that he spoke to.
So that's the speech we're referring to.
That's the speech we're referring to. I'm sorry.
Where somewhere he made a public...
No.
For his presentation. Okay. Was there a John Deere plant in or near that community?
Nearby there was a John Deere facility, but I believe it did not make front-end loaders that they were looking for. Now, in response to the appellee's summary judgment brief, Mr. Wackett's identification of the speech at issue changed. And for the first time, he said, well, my retaliation claim is also based on the 2002 speech about a trip to the Caterpillar plant. And despite knowing that the appellee's summary judgment motion was based on what the individual defendants knew, or whether they knew the speech about the speech he alleged prompted the retaliatory conduct, he didn't put in any evidence of knowledge of the 2002 speech. Now, he complains that we waived the argument because we didn't put evidence or discuss the issue of lack of knowledge of the 2002 speech in the initial summary judgment submissions. Well, we couldn't have done that because the first time the issue was raised was in his response to our initial summary judgment submissions. The appellees did address it at the first opportunity they had, which was in their summary judgment reply submissions. At the first opportunity, they pointed out the lack of evidence in the record that the individual defendants knew of the 2002 trip speech, and Mr. Wackett didn't ask for an opportunity for the court to submit additional evidence. And at the first opportunity, the individual defendants submitted declarations found at records 60 through 63 saying the individual defendants didn't know until after this lawsuit was filed that Mr. Wackett had ever made any statements about them relating to a trip to the Caterpillar facility. And again, Mr. Wackett didn't ask for an opportunity to respond to this. He left the record as is without any evidence of knowledge of the 2002 speech. The appellees addressed this issue of the knowledge at the first opportunity it had, and the issue is not waived. The third issue I'd like to address is whether the 2002 trip speech was made with reckless disregard. And the answer here is yes. It's undisputed that Mr. Wackett publicly accused the individual defendants of being unethical by going on a trip to a Caterpillar plant when the front-end loader issue was being considered. It's undisputed he had no idea whether they went on this trip at all. And it's undisputed that, in fact, they did not go on this trip. There's not even any evidence that they even considered going on the trip. Now, Mr. Wackett appears to argue in his reply brief to this court that these undisputed facts are irrelevant because his allegations that the individual defendants were unethical don't form the basis of his First Amendment claim, but that's simply not the case. Mr. Wackett's own declaration identifies the speech at issue that he has put at issue in this case, and it includes his statements that he publicly criticized those who organized and those who he believed went on the trip, that he stated in his opinion that accepting the all-expense-paid trip was unethical and violated state law. That's his own language. That's the language he put at issue in this case. And so it's highly relevant whether Mr. Wackett had evidence the individual defendants went on the alleged trip and whether they went on the trip. And as mentioned, the undisputed evidence is he didn't know whether they went and they didn't go. And making serious accusations of unethical conduct when you do not know whether that conduct occurred is the definition of reckless disregard, and that's particularly true, whereas here Mr. Wackett has shown no remorse for making false allegations. The alleged 2002 statements are outside of the protection of the First Amendment for that reason. We ask that the court affirm the district court's summary judgment as to the 2002 speech. The court would be affirming on a different ground than was done below, but the court can certainly do so if there's an adequate basis in the record. I believe the evidence just discussed provides that basis for the court to do so. The final issue I'd like to address is whether Mr. Wackett has waived the argument that a jury could infer knowledge of the 2003 protected speech if it could reasonably infer that the individual defendant's stated reasons for not promoting him were not the real reasons. That issue was waived. In his reply brief, Mr. Wackett says it wasn't waived because he raised it in his initial brief to this court, but that misses the point. Where he failed to raise the issue was below in front of the district court, and issues not raised below are waived on appeal, and we believe there's no basis for permitting Mr. Wackett to raise the issue here on appeal. And unless the court has any questions, I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you, counsel. How much time does he have? 5 minutes. Mr. Porter.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, on that last point, it's just not the case. We raised all the pretext arguments that we raised in the brief in chief and in the reply brief in the court below, and I quoted from our brief in the court below in my reply with regard to that. I guess I would also just have to say that either I'm misunderstanding defendant's argument or there's a contradiction there when they say that that the retaliation claim based upon the ethical concern about the trip to the Caterpillar tractor factory was raised for the first time on appeal, and yet at the same time they're saying that that evidence for him to make that speech was reckless disregard. I mean, they grilled Mr. Wackett for endless period of time in his deposition about did you know whether they went or on the trip or not, and were you sure they went on the trip? And it misses the whole point because Wackett's speech wasn't that to criticize them for going on the trip. His speech was, I mean, it's a matter of record in the Board of Public Works minutes that the offer for the trip was announced and that anybody that wanted to go was supposed to talk to Defendant Meyer. And in response to that, Wackett went to the mayor, went to the Human Resources Department and several other places and just said, you know, this would be this is unethical, you shouldn't do this. He didn't say you did this and you committed an ethical violation, but he believes if they didn't go on the trip, he's the one that thwarted it, and that's another motive for them to be upset with him. So I think that was clear in the briefs below. It's clear now. And unless the court has other questions, I think I need to say a lot more about this.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement.